Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the one where you can find out more about all of the Brain Trust members that we have in our group, the over 600 experts, the largest community of experts and small business experts in the world. You can find out about them and also the all the archives, all the interviews that we've done with them for years now. We've been collecting those. And so any topic under the sun, we probably covered it on our show, and you can find it in the very handy catalog that we have there that will help you find anything that you'd like to hear anyone, any of these experts say along with me. You can find that there. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog while you're there. Lots of articles you can read, too. And then, of course, we have our knowledge base, AskJim.biz, the new one. That's the one where you can get small business answers now. You'll check those out when you get a chance. Tom Travis is a new friend, ladies and gentlemen. Tom is managing partner at Sandler, Travis, and Rosenberg, which is a leading international trade and customs law firm. He and his organization and he and his folks take care of companies large and small and help them put their best foot forward across the pond and across the borders. And his new book is called The Essential Guide to Going Global. And folks, as you know how long I've been talking to you about the importance for small business owners to at least find out what it takes to do business in other countries. And Tom's here to talk to us about that. Tom, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you so much.
I like your approach to helping businesses understand what they need to do. It's very fundamental. It's very practical. It's very 1-2-3. It's very plain English. And I really appreciate that kind of an approach because it seems to me, and of course, Tom, as you know, my focus is small business. I know you have a lot of big business and medium-sized business customers that you work with, clients that you work with, but my focus is small businesses and, you know, typically 100 employees or less. And for those folks, you know, just not knowing what they need to know is the daunting task, isn't it?
Especially as you go global, as you enter international marketplaces, there are many rules, many languages, many players, and sometimes it's a tough understanding three-dimensional chess when you're used to playing checkers.
Well, exactly, and you know, now when I actually like to talk about globalization. See, I think globalization, I like to poll when I speak to audiences, I like to ask them if they think globalization is a bad thing. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And I believe globalization is just the trade manifestation of our intellectual journey. And this is, you know, globalization is just the next level of our intellectual journey where we can now transfer not only ideas and capital quickly around the globe, we can transfer labor quickly around the globe. And that's just the next new thing. And when you say going global, though, that does kind of put a little bit of a roadblock up, I think, in the minds of small businesses. I prefer to think of it as finding a customer, just one customer, in another country. What do you think?
Well, it's a marketplace which has grown bigger and bigger, and that's why it's global.
Yeah.
Today, we don't look at what we're going to sell across the street or across the state or across the nation. Those markets are out there, and as long as from the time of the Phoenicians, people have been looking about how to leverage what they have, trade it, make more money at it. And trade traditionally has been the route in which cultures meet, in which people meet, and which divergent ideas come together, and opportunity exists. And this is not a new phenomenon, but it is in the sense of its magnitude and its reach. So I think it's almost our manifest destiny, to be honest with you.
I completely agree, and it is a new phenomenon in a way for small businesses because it is easier today for smaller businesses to go global, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And in fact, this effort of breaking into new markets and doing new types of things in new ways in new places really starts with small businesses and starts with the individual entrepreneur. That's how I know that our business started, serving that group of people that were frontiersmen and women in the sense of looking around and outside of their neighborhoods to see what commercial opportunities exist. And it's a fascinating story. It's happened year after year, century after century, all across the world. But we're at a stage now with the news of it and the opportunity because of our communication development technology, because of our transportation, and because of the sophistication of different types of products being made in so many different places and services being offered, that it has become that global marketplace. And when Tom Friedman said the world is flat, the world is flat. And we have to get used to it, adapt to it. Small companies, big companies, and individuals.
You know, I like what you said about how we reach across borders to trade with people, and that's how good that is for humanity. I like to quote Frederick Bastiat, the 19th century French comedian, French economist and comedian. He said, "When goods cross borders, armies don't." I like the fact that we're pointing ships back and forth at each other, us and China, rather than weapons. Don't you?
As long as they're not warships, you're right.
Exactly.
Look, when cultures have a stake, an economic stake, in each other, it's a lot more difficult to have wars, as you mentioned, or general conflicts. Clearly, in a commercial world, conflicts will exist. We have lots of institutions, multilateral institutions, which look at arbitrating and mediating disputes amongst countries, between countries. But the key here is that this commercial opening is the most important way in which people get to know each other. And when they get to know each other, that's a better thing for all of us. And commerce brings us to that level.
What are we, 5% of the world's, our country represents 5% of the population of the world. That means 95% of our prospects, our global prospects, you know, are outside of our country, is it?
Well, that's in the term of population. That is true. But the opportunities, are cubed, because what you have here is you have lots of people talking to different people in different places and coming up with different sorts of ideas. And I am struck almost every day about the skill of entrepreneurs and the inventiveness of entrepreneurs taking advantage of these new types of markets.
Tom, hold on to that thought. Folks, one of the first tenets Tom talks about in his book is take advantage of trade agreements. When we come back, we're going to get him to tell us what he means by that and how you and I can do that in our small businesses. 20 after. The book is called The Essential Guide to Going Global.
Hello, stranger.
We're back. It's 7:23 after the hour, actually. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Barbara Lewis, by the way. Great old song from the Wayback Machine. Tom Travis is our guest, folks. He's our new friend and the author of The Essential Guide to Going Global. He's an international trade expert. Tom, I like what you said about the Phoenicians in the previous segment about them trading. Of course, we know they traded with the Egyptians. But I actually go back further than that. The point I make is that trading across borders, trading with people, is as much a part of our DNA as anything. You know, when they found the caveman buried in the glacier a few years ago, he had products on him that could not have been made in his area. So he'd gotten them somewhere up and down the line there. You know, so I say that, you know, that Og the Neanderthal traded with Gog the Alsatian, 100,000 years ago, and that's where it all started. It's his natural, and you know what? He probably, when he did that, he didn't do business with his neighbor because he traded across the valley and across over on the other mountain. It's been going on forever, and it's not going to stop. And you talk about in your book, you talk about the advantages of trade agreements. And I've been talking to my audience now for a long time about all the different trade agreements. We're trying to do one right now with Colombia. The Democrats are fighting it. Al Gore dissed Uribe, the Colombian president, the other day. And we need these trade agreements, don't we?
We certainly do. And whether we think we need them or not, the politicians love to negotiate trade agreements. They get together with another country and they announce that they've opened markets. And the issue for small businesses is that every time we negotiate a trade agreement or issue a preference, which is a unilateral benefit to a group of countries or a country, we create opportunity after opportunity for entrepreneurs. And in fact, entrepreneurs sometimes instigate and initiate these discussions which lead to trade agreements, but more often than not, they take advantage of it in discreet and winning ways. And it doesn't have to be big companies either. Trade agreements, what they basically do is they lower tariff barriers or other barriers between or amongst countries. And it may be on very specific types of products. It could be on general products.
And it greases the skids for trade, doesn't it?
It gives the countries within the preference area or within the free trade agreement, it gives you an advantage. When we negotiated the NAFTA, whether you like the NAFTA or not, it was negotiated amongst the Mexicans, Canadians, and Americans. But the Mexicans did two things. They asked for this trade agreement, and they got it. And the second thing, within a year after the trade agreement, they ended up devaluing their currency, the peso.
Mm-hmm.
So at one, almost at the same time, they got a tariff advantage plus a competitive advantage in pricing their goods to the United States. They took advantage of it, and within a few short years, they were the number one apparel producer for the United States marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we see it all over.
So would you say for small business owners, as they're thinking about, okay, where do I begin? See, there are most small business owners out there who are thinking about this, who aren't thinking about it. When they think about doing business overseas or across borders, they got to be thinking, okay, where do I start? Would you say the first place to start is to say, okay, where are the trade agreements?
I think it's one of the first places to start. You've got to know what your product is and survey those marketplaces to see what kind of demand there is, obviously. But it's certainly important. For example, we have a particular preference program which involves the Israelis and the Egyptians and the Jordanians. It's called the Qualified Industrial Zones, and it provides that certain goods made with Israeli content in Egypt or in Jordan can come into the U.S. marketplace duty-free. Well, a number of apparel entrepreneurs took a look at that years and years ago, and everybody laughed and said, well, how are you going to ever put the Israelis and the Arabs together in business? And these entrepreneurs looked at it, and they discovered that certain apparel products were paying rates of duty in the 30% range, but if they used this trade agreement, they paid zero.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we got sportswear, tailored goods, underwear being made in this cooperative venture and being exported successfully into various markets.
Saving money and making money is a universal language, isn't it?
It's universal, but there's even a bigger benefit that we had a peace dividend in a dividend
right,
office
exactly.
because it's an
right.
amazing situation.
Tom, the book, The Essential Guide to Going Global, is available where?
It's in most bookstores now. It's on Amazon. It's on BarnesandNoble.com, and it's being widely distributed right now.
What about your own website?
It's strtrade.com is one website we have. It's my law firm's website, which references it. But we have our own website, which is Doing Business Anywhere, and that one is up and running. It's got various
doingbusinessanywhere.com.
Doing Business Anywhere, The Essential Guide to Going Global. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And the last name is Travis, T-R-A-V-I-S. 30 seconds. Tom, last thoughts.
I think it's critical for small businesses, Jim. It really is because when I started my practice, it was small businesses, and it started down in Miami, Florida with a lot of wonderful Cuban businessmen and women that had to leave Cuba and set up shop here in Miami. And they're the ones that took me along the journey of international trade because they were used to it, they got their training on it, and they exported that ethic to the United States, and we were able to use that with some skills and really build some marketplaces around the world.
Doing Business Anywhere, The Essential Guide to Going Global by Tom Travis. Thanks, Tom, for being here. Good job on your book, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, sir.
Tom Travis, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break, 29 after. Right back with Dr. William Dunkelberg.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.